your number one news and talk station.
What do we know about murder based on information in the South African Police Service's annual report for 2016-2017? Men made up the largest proportion, 82% of murder victims with 15,547 cases. Women over 18 made up 14% of victims, and 4% murder victims were children under the age of 18. So on average, 43 men, 7 women, 2 children were murdered every day in the year under reporting. SAPS undertook a docket analysis of 2,912 murders perpetrated during 2015. That study found numerous trends, including that half of murders took place over weekends. We know this, 26% on Saturdays, 24% on Sundays. 3 in 4 took place between 6 and 9. A third were in urban formal residential areas. 23% occurred in rural formal areas and 22% in informal urban residential areas. 1/3 took place on streets and roads. 20% were committed to the victim's residence, and 11% took place in open spaces, and 9.5% in bars, pubs, shebeens, or taverns. Knives were used in 36% of the cases, and of the dockets analyzed by the SAPS, 51.5% of murders were committed during an argument or misunderstanding. 51% were committed during an argument or a misunderstanding. Vigilantism accounted for 10%, retaliation or revenge 3%, gang violence only 2%, and other group or crowd conflicts such as taxi violence 1%. So, with the calls for the deployment of the South African National Defence Force, the calls by the community of Elsass River for more police officers to be deployed to Elsass River following the unfortunate shooting of a 3-year-old earlier this week. Once again, let me repeat, I am not discounting the plight that is felt by the people living and affected by gang-infested areas. But we have to ask the question, with limited resources, are we deploying those resources in the most efficient way? Dr. Simon Howell is a man who's going to help us answer that question. He's a research director at African Police Civilian Oversight Forum. Simon, a very good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Should we be redeploying police officers to gang-infested areas? Should we be deploying the SANDF to those areas, given the fact that it only accounts for 2% of the murders we report in any given year?
Well, for me, I think deploying the military to engage with gangsters is probably the worst idea possible, primarily because deploying the military necessarily escalates the levels of violence in a community. You must remember that the military does not really have an investigative component to engaging with issues. So when they are deployed, you know, you lose, or essentially the police are put on the back foot or often circumvented. And it's they who have the ability to deal with crimes and investigate crimes so as that a conviction or a solution can be drawn from individual instances. So it's for me, it's not a good idea. That's not to say, however, that the police should not have further resources given to them to deal with gangsterism, especially around, you know, capacity building in terms of training and dealing with firearm violence. And, of course, protecting their own firearms from being stolen and used by the gangs themselves.
One might argue, though, Simon, that if, for example, there was a deployment of the military in Elsass River, the 3-year-old who has been shot and fighting for her life in a hospital right now may not have been shot because there would have been a deterrent by seeing physically army men and women holding guns standing in a corner.
Yeah, so I agree in the sense that, I mean, we could figure out whether that could have occurred or not. But I think, you know, if we look at gang violence, we need to understand what is driving gang violence, what is causing gang violence. And the most effective response in those instances is going to be dealing with those causes. Deploying the military is only ever going to be a reactive sort of bandage that you put on a wound rather than figuring out how the violence occurred in the first place. If we look at the stats that you spoke of, I mean, you know, half of murders occur on weekends, and of those, well, in total, 3/4 occur between 6 p.m. and 9 a.m. So what is different about weekends and weekend evenings? Well, alcohol is frankly the primary concern. So, you know, limiting or encouraging responsible drinking is a means of dealing with 3/4 of the murders in South Africa. In the same manner with gangsterism, a lot of gang activity or gang, the reason why young people join gangs is because they live in communities or areas that are the main economically marginalized and politically disenfranchised. And for that reason, joining a gang becomes a means of gaining resources and finding out about, well, having a platform to define oneself as an individual. So we need to ask, well, what's gone wrong here, and how can society facilitate it so as that people can have better access to jobs and better access to understanding who they are themselves?
So the solution to crime then is not allocating a bigger budget to Police Minister Fikile Mbalula for him to employ more men and women in blue. In fact, as you're suggesting, the solution lies in very many other departments in government to help address some of the social ills that we have to deal with on a daily basis in South Africa.
Yeah, the police are ultimately, their job is to enforce the law, and they unfortunately have been placed as the primary means by which we deal with issues in South Africa, when in fact, for me, they should be the last resort. That's not to say that you know, the police should not be given more funding or anything like that, but rather that they are dealing with the consequences of social ills. And until such time as we deal with the social ills themselves, we can't really expect, you know, the problem to miraculously disappear. In terms of gangsterism, social development, education, health, these are important features of dealing with gangsterism. The problem, of course, is that it's not so easy to coordinate government departments and government activities so as that they specifically address a singular problem.
Because the reality is, I mean, how do you deal with the notion that 51% of murders are committed during an argument or misunderstanding? There is no way that a police officer, detective, I don't care how good you are, will be able to determine that Elliot and I, Elliot is my producer, are now going to have a fight, and that may result in a murder because I might be so overwhelmed by emotion that I cannot utter or articulate an argument, so I take out my knife and I stab him. I mean, you can't police that.
No, sure, of course not. And, you know, it's very difficult to make generalizable conclusions from murder stats. But if you did not have a knife or a gun in your hand when you got into an argument, then it is less likely that you will have the capability of committing said murder. So it's not that one can eliminate individual instances of murder, but rather that we can put in place the necessary limitations or encourage certain behaviors so as that when you get into an argument, murder does not become is not a justifiable or likely outcome. And for that, you can limit firearm access to firearms, or if you notice in the crime stats, access to knives, which are a significant issue. Education, you know, providing people with a moral compass and a means of understanding their actions. And only then, you know, right at the end, we can consider things punitive or negative sanctions. So if you commit murder, you may go to jail. But there needs to, in other words, there needs to be a sort of a multi-pronged, broad-scale engagement with the structures and the context within which South African society or people in South Africa live, so as that we can mitigate the risk related to murder. You can never get rid of individual instances, but you can, on the whole, begin to undermine the risk of someone encountering or being able to commit murder.
Which then also highlights the fact that the fight against crime in this country is not only the fight for government, but everyone has a role to play. Because, you know, there may be campaigns, for example, conducted by the companies involved in the alcohol industry that are driving one for responsible consumption of alcohol. But if I, Africa Melana, do not discourage my friends from drinking irresponsibly, I'm then failing in my role and duty, surely, to contribute towards a South Africa that I want to live in.
Exactly. The fight against crime is essentially a fight against the conditions which pervade South African society, which undermine people's ability to live good lives. And it's something that I think is becoming increasingly prominent. You know, employment rates are what they are. People's access to material resources are what they are. And, I mean, we've seen the continual increase in murder stats as a whole, at a national level, at the same time as we've seen a decrease in access to education, you know, decreases in access to the job market and the like. And these, while they're not, I wouldn't want to establish like a causal relationship between them, there is a confluence, and we need to ask why.
Do we have any case studies that we can celebrate, I suppose, that have seen high levels of criminal activities turned around, not because of policing, but rather because of other forms of intervention that speak more to the social ills of society?
There are some limited examples of community action which has been very good at dealing with issues around gangsterism. Of course, that community action needs to be constrained in such a manner that it doesn't become vigilantism. But, you know, developing of community ties provides people with both the identity-related concerns that gangsterism fills and provides a means of communities reacting to and defending themselves against gangsters. So, you know, having community meetings in parks that are typically used by gangs or drug dealers occupies that space in a manner that prevents those actions occurring. And there, you know, there's limited examples, but they do exist. And I think lessons can be drawn from them. But they all speak to the social context and the social drivers of what is these issues in South African society.
Much food for thought and a very important conversation. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dr. Simon Hall, Research Director at African Police Civilian Oversight.